Oh man, I wish I had a fairy godmother to help me with my fit. It's looking kind of busted right now.
Hey you, cutie with no hoodie. It's your fairy godmother.
Damn, you mean a fairy god me? Because we sound just alike. Am I having an insecure Issa Rae in the mirror moment?
Yeah, whatever, don't worry about it. We got you covered, okay? So we gonna make sure that you are looking hot this winter when you go out to have a ball.
Okay. So what y'all got over there?
Well, I am the Millennials Anonymous DTLR Villa Fairy, say that 10 times fast, and they got you. They got matching sets from Puma, Nike, Juicy Couture, and so much more.
Okay.
All you gotta do is go to millennials.com/shops and click on DTLR Villa, and you can get the savings today.
Okay, let's go.
Now, hurry back,
because my car's gonna turn into a pumpkin if I don't come back on time?
No, Millennials Anonymous is on, so let's go.
Millennial, what?
Pray a trust.
You are watching us from the last room
they've ever owned tonight.
Consider
yourself lucky. Millennial, what? Millennial, who? My name is Lisa, and I'm a fucking millennial.
I did not.
Because with Pharrell, we made it out some shit. Pharrell. Yeah, you know we run the world, right?
I'm saying in Tennessee, I know it's Texas.
I just want y'all to hold it.
That don't even sound right. That don't even sound like me. Mm-mm.
The views, thoughts, and opinions expressed are the individual guest's own and do not represent the views, thoughts, and opinions of Millennials Anonymous or MAPS Media. The material and information presented here is for entertainment purposes only and not meant to malign any person, place, thing, or group. MAPS Media's name and all forms and abbreviation are the property of its owner, and its use does not imply endorsement or opposition of any specific organization, product, or service. This is purely entertainment, folks. Now let's get it. Hey everybody, welcome back to a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous Podcast. Yes, it is your girl Lee Quinny, and I am a fucking millennial. And we're gonna get this party started so right and so very quickly. As you can tell, I'm in different spirits. You have it, what, unity? Unity, because I'm by myself. And you're gonna get a throwback top 10 millennial minutes today. Is gonna be a throwback episode of how we used to do it. This is how we do it. Yeah, I'm gonna see how many songs I can sing today. This is how we do it. No, 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 no. Like, I'm really feeling it. You know what? I'm also feeling Burner Boy's song, which is like Man Enough for Me, that Toni Braxton song. I really like the Afro beats with that. It goes perfectly. It's just so much synergy that I absolutely am loving it. And over the weekend, well, not over the weekend, but the past couple of weeks, one of the things that I noticed is, one, now they're trying to get the private student loans in there too. So if you have private student loans, I guess Father Joe is coming. You know, you gotta pray to the Chucks, the Pearls, and Father Joe and Hunter Biden laptop, and maybe they might forgive them too. Because like, it doesn't really make sense. I mean, I get why it's only the federal, because the loans, they're forgiving their loans. Like, the money that they gave to us came from the federal government. So it's kind of hard for them to come in and tell the private institutions to do that. However, they've done that though. ITT Tech and Lincoln and DeVry, remember him coming on the commercial like a crackhead in the middle of the night? Come on, I know you want it. Remember him? Like, all of that. Like, they made sure that they held them accountable. There have always been standards for private colleges. And I think it was during the Obama administration is like they really cracked down on what those for-profit colleges were doing, because a lot of them, I worked at a for-profit college as an academic advisor. And when I tell you it's bullshit, it's 99% bullshit. Like, a lot of the things that they're teaching, you can learn somewhere else. And they're charging you way more, because the school that I worked at, you didn't just get a certificate, you got a degree. So they're charging people $36,000 for an automotive degree. And that you don't even really make that sometimes getting out of school, especially back when I was working there. You weren't even getting started making that. And every student that walked through that door owed money while they were in school. Most of them went into default. then they owed tons and tons of money. So it's all bull. It's bull. But we can't leave the private loan people out there too. Because like Chase had a loan. They had a loan program that ended up with Navin. We all know how Navin is. Navin is, they some straight up, I call them, they like mafia. Like they, them student loan mafia. I've never seen a program that has so many violations, but yet still has a contract with the federal government in order to be the student loan fine. Like, I've never seen, it's shocking, but it is what it is. But I also actually got a chance to walk in a parade. I never did that before. And I walked in a parade with the U.S. Senator on behalf of the Democratic Party here in Maryland. But yes! I think specifically for the U.S. Senate, Chris Van Hollen. So I walked in the parade with the Chris Van Hollen folks. Everybody was awesome. Noah was awesome. He's like the, I guess he organizes everything for them. He's awesome. I got a chance to meet Senator Chris Van Hollen, and I asked him, I the whole thing about the, you know, bankruptcy for student loans. I was like, if y'all not going to forgive the student loans, can you make an easier pathway for bankruptcy? And he said that they are working on it, but they don't have the votes in the Senate. And I mean, I get that, but I'm like, you need to handle that. Like, I, you know what I mean? Like, y'all need to figure that out. I don't know where you're going to get it or how, you know, near, far, wherever you are. Like, I'm not sure. Because, like, the Republicans don't want you to forgive it. So why not allow us to be able to file bankrupt? Like, I'm not understanding it. We need to figure this out. How do we figure this out? Because it's just not working for me, and I don't like it. But I did get a chance to do that. What one thing that I didn't realize is that they don't have like a shuttle to get you back. And if you're not walking in a circle, you got to walk all the way the fuck back. I didn't, because we walk. Like, I wasn't on a float. I was walking. Like, he had like a older 1930s vehicle. But for me, I was walking. So we had to walk back. I didn't even know that. I was like, y'all don't have like a bus? Like, we don't get like a bus pass? There's no shuttle? I got to walk back? So I walked my fat tail back. It wasn't that far. I think all total, 6 miles, I think. I think we walked 6 miles total, 3 miles down, 3 miles back. So it wasn't too bad. I got a lot of steps in that day. It was a festival in Reisterstown, Maryland. I got a chance to go out there with my kids. So, yeah, you know, I enjoyed it. I'll put the pictures up. I look like absolutely shiggity. But I did get a chance to go out there and do something I've never done. So I was in a parade. I can say I was in a parade. How many people can say that? A lot of people can't say that. I can say that. See? A lot of people can't say that. So I had an eventful week. So, black media, like Byron Allen, I don't know if you guys really, and I say black media, and I really would love to meet Byron Allen someday, because he has been able to do something I think most people can't do. Like, he figured out the game. He knows how to play the game. When you know these people, a white woman in her 40s and a white man of any age, he could be 10. It does not matter. You will get bank loans. You will get invited to stuff. Like, the type of things that just being white affords you in America is amazing. Like, I get baffled by it. I'm like, what? I know black men who are dating white women. I'm like, how did you move out here? Like, how did you do it? I know how much money you make. This is impossible. But it's just the things that you are able, I guess, is colonization. That's what it is. It's racism. And they're benefiting off the backs of racism. But I feel like people like Byron Allen figured out the game. Like, they're for black people. So the content is for black people and blackness. And they use blackness as it's convenient. But behind the scenes, they know how to use and work within white circles. So you being unapologetically you, and I found this out within the last 2 years, comes with a price. Like, you can be unapologetically you, but it comes at a cost. It will cost you something, whether it's sponsors, whether it's friends, whether it's connections, whether it will cost you something. And you have to figure out to yourself, is it worth it to me to lose this? And I think that he understands that you can still make content for Black people, but I'm going to make it in a way where it's safe content. Because there's some other outlets and platforms that make content, but it's not safe content, which is funny because I feel like people like Charlamagne cracked the code, because Charlamagne literally has a show on Comedy Central. He's been on CNN, MSNBC, Bill Maher, all of these very white spaces. But I think Byron gets it. Like, he owns the Weather Channel. He now will stream HBCU. So who's watching HBCU games? Black people. But who is funding a lot of his money and sponsorships and stuff? You're going to come from these white platforms like Toyota and Verizon. And like, he figured it out. And I would love to talk to him to figure it out. Like, hey, Byron, like how Sway? Like, I saw it today. Like, he now will stream HBCU on HBCU Go. He is his new streaming platform, and he's going to stream those games. And because, you know, a lot of the times you don't get a chance to see those games, especially if it's not Division One. So, you know, those Division 1A, the Division 2, Division... I don't know if he'll do Division 3, but we'll see. But he's going to be streaming those NCAA games. Let's see what happens. Or CIAA. It might be CIAA. Something. I don't follow college sports like that. I'm sorry, y'all. Like, it's not, I'm not being disrespectful. I just don't be doing that. I'm just saying, like, that's just not where I'm at in my life. But I appreciate y'all. You know what I'm saying? Like, I appreciate all my collegiate athletes. And I think y'all should be getting paid. Pay them. Like, I get now they can get, like, sponsorships or whatever, but no. Pay them people. When they leave school, if y'all making millions and millions and millions of dollars off these children, they should leave with something a little more than that. I'm just saying. I get it. You don't want to tank the game. But at some point, you cannot keep making money because some of these children don't go pro. So you're still making money off of these children for them not to go pro. I'm just saying. And some of them get injured in college and they can't go pro. It's a whole thing. I ain't going to get on that soapbox today. But I want to meet. If somebody know him, let me know. Somebody, just tell him. I would love to meet him. Like, see, that's why I said I need to find that white friend. That because I know he know him. I don't know how. But they be knowing people. It'd be like they be working at the truck stop. And you be like, man, I really wish I could meet Joe Biden. Oh, I know Joe. Like, it's just, I'm like, how? But let me say this. At the end of the day, I think it comes down to the money. Show me the money. Wherever the money is, the dollar bill, y'all, is where the sponsors will back you. So if they think that no matter what you're doing, even if you are highly controversial, like a Charlamagne, I think that because Charlamagne has the viewership and the engagement, they're going to throw money behind them because they know that people will watch it. And so I feel like that, because he's entertaining. Like, I will say he's a hell of an entertainer. So they will throw money behind that. And I think Byron Allen has figured it out. He's figured out the balance between the money, the morals or morality of it all, especially when it comes to Black people's voices. Because Black people, we just want to be heard. We want to be heard and we want to be seen. And we want our stories to be told. And it's kind of hard to do that with no money. And so I think he's figured that out. Like, I kid about knowing white people and having white people around. But at the end of the day, he figured it out. Like, he unlocked the cheat code. And I think that's why we kind of see what's happening. I was talking to somebody else and I was saying, like, we would love to see a Byron Allen biopic. I want to know how he did it. I want to know how it got started. Let me know. Is there one out there that somebody done it? Shit, I'm about to do it. Like, what do I sign up at? I need to figure this out. Like, how he did it. Somebody who is in the other side of media, and I would love to get behind the scenes in media to figure out How do you navigate the space in a way where all three of those worlds of the money, the eyeballs or earballs, and the morality of it all comes together beautifully? Now, only time will tell how beautiful this turns out. But right now, it seems like, especially with the griot and stuff like that, he's figured it out. So I think the griot has a very good balance. They have April Ryan and, you know, the entertainment piece as well. So I think they found a really good balance there. So only time will tell how this plays out for Black people. But right now, Byron is the man.
Let's get into these Millennial Minutes.
Superhero feeling, still in underdog. Trap the souls like we bump the ball. This is all of me, I'm a legend to you all.
Let's do it. Let's get into these top 10 Millennial Minutes. Yes. And we're going to talk about Trump, because now Trump is asking the judge to deny the Department of Justice request on the special master's review. Yeah. I was saying I need to know a white man. You know one white man I don't want to know? Trump. Everybody around him go to jail. Everybody, Steve Bannon, Michael Cohen.
Don't be rude.
If you know Trump, the FBI going to find you some kind of way. Like, I don't want to know him. I don't want to meet him. I don't want to see him. I don't even want to know where he's at. I don't want no Trump steaks. I don't want to go to Trump, the Taj Mahal. I don't want to go nowhere. Okay. I don't want to go nowhere his name is at. Don't say nothing. Don't say it's trumped up. Nope. Mm-mm, not around me. No, sorry, Bob. I don't want to be nowhere near it. But he is back in court. As you know, the FBI went down to Mar-a-Lago. I'm not going to say they went it raided it, because it was really a nice raid. It was like, you know, they was like, they searched here and they searched there. But it wasn't like they ain't bust his door down in the middle of the night. Nothing like that. Like, it was nice. It was a cute one. It was like, we're going to keep it cute. Cute search. So they went down, they saw he had boxes, like 11 boxes of documents that he thought he magically just knighted them and it made it his. He was like, give me that. He was just in meetings. What was the people around him doing? Like, he's in meetings. He's like, give me that. Let me hold that. Give me that. I think that's mine. Give me that. He turned into Chris Brown. Give me that. Like, what y'all wasn't like, you know what, this is concerning. Like, at no point, no one had any questions. Okay. No. So former President Donald Trump asked the federal judge that he appointed.
It's all fake news.
Now,
it's
during
phony
his
stuff.
Presidency, he
it
left glaring vacant holes in pretty much every department across the country that needed to be filled. Like, there were vacancies everywhere. Did you know what he was doing?
Bing, bing, bong,
he was
bong,
appointing bing, federal judges, that some of which shouldn't have ever sat there. Like, they never tried a case. They never, like, he was just appointing anybody. It was like, oh, you went to school and you said you might go into law? Okay, yeah, you a judge. Like, he was just appointing anybody to become a federal judge. And this judge, Judge Eileen Cannon, or for whatever reason, MSNBC keeps calling her Eileen Mercedes Cannon. I guess so you know that she's not white. Like, I'm not sure why they keep doing that, but okay. So Judge Eileen Cannon, she decided to grant him the special master, which is basically just a third party person to come in to look through the documents to make sure that the FBI doesn't have anything in these documents that belong to Trump, like, and they shouldn't be seen within this investigation. But the DOJ's pretty much looked through all of this. Like, they pretty much like, yeah, he can have, because he had like clothes and stuff, and they're probably like, yeah, he can have this dirty shirt back. I don't even want that. Like, I don't get it at all. But today, Trump's attorneys asked the judge Cannon to reject the Department of Justice request for a stay of her ruling to let a special master review the evidence seized at his Mar-a-Lago home from last month. So we will see what happens, because this seems like Trump's MO, sort of like, let's prolong this as long as we can. And it's just not where it's at, because it seems like Fox News and the people on the right are trying to make like this is like this witch hunt and they've trumped up all this stuff, no pun intended. But really, the issue is the storage of these documents. Because he stored these documents any kind of way. They were just kind of like thrown just willy-nilly all over the place. And these, we're talking about one of the documents had another country's nuclear information on it. Why do you have that? Like, for me, it's not even just the fact that he took the documents out of the White House. My question is, why do you have it? Like, what are you going to do with this nuclear information that he claimed he didn't have? What are you doing with it? That should raise your eyebrows, even if you are Republican, because pretty much a lot of Republicans are starting to be like, oh, no, wait a minute, hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. Like, they turned into rappers now. Hold up, hold up, hold up, hold up. They changed. They're starting to change their tune because this doesn't look good. Like, Trump has some legal issues on his hand. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. It's very, very hard to defend this. So now you have a lot of them going, wait a minute, except for Lindsey Graham, who, if you go back and listen to Lindsey Graham, he called him a dumbass and all this stuff, and now he's kissing his ass. It's like you went from calling him a dumbass to kissing ass. It's amazing. It's amazing. But this is interesting to see how now people are trying to flip this, where it's like, whoa, this is not good. This is not good at all. And we've starting to hear people on, you know, Twitter land saying it could be Obama. Obama's going to be the special master. And for those of you that don't know, a special master is just a third party, an attorney that's going to review these documents to have like this subjective look on it, to make sure that there's nothing in there that shouldn't be in there. He can't. So first of all, the people are like, he already has security clearance. They don't automatically just grant them security clearance. I think they give them access because they're the president of the United States. So I don't think they automatically just give them this clearance. So no, I mean, he is a Harvard graduate and a lawyer. He actually is a lawyer, but that would be a very unusual. Why would it be Obama of all the people? Because if I'm not mistaken, I think they kind of mentioned some of the nominees that it could be. And Barbara Jones, who is a retired federal judge for the U.S. District Court of Southern District of New York. She was nominated by President Bill Clinton in 95. Like, she's on the short list. Thomas Griffith is on the short list. He's also a retired federal judge. Okay, he was nominated by W. Raymond Deary is also a former chief judge for the U.S. District Court of Eastern District of New York, and he was nominated by Ronald Reagan in 86. And then Paul Huck, which I truly doubt that he will, because I think he's just a lawyer. Like, I think Trump and him just kind of threw them in there. He was like, okay, let's throw him in there. They was just trying, because he's on the Federalist Society, just like this judge. So I, like, he probably, no. But the rest of them, it's possible that they will probably be on the list of special masters in this particular case. And I think the judge didn't even realize, because, like, she stopped them from investigating right now. And I don't know if she realized, like, the Department of Justice had to explain to her that the FBI is a part of this intelligence community, and the intelligence investigation goes with the criminal one. And, like, it's kind of hard to detach the two. If for whatever reason, it didn't seem like she knew that. So I don't know what's going to happen with this, but it's getting more difficult for even her to justify a lot of the choices that she's made.
It's all fake news.
So this doesn't look good
stuff.
For her politically down the road, or like, it just does not look good. Now, as far as Trump or another Republican, like one of those MAGA Republicans getting into office, she probably going to be on the Supreme Court. Like, this probably would get her on the Supreme Court. But the rest, if we don't have none of the wonky ones in there, like, I'm like, why would you go on this career suicide mission for Donald Trump, who will turn on you in a minute, like it in a hot minute? Yeah. And speaking of Trump, Trump is still trying to run in 2024, even though I don't know, it's getting, with all the legal issues he's got going on right now, that seems very, very bleak, because he has a lot of legal issues. But She Knows reported that Donald Trump has not declared whether or not Ivanka, his daughter, actually will be his running mate in 2024. Now, hold on. Now. Listen, if that shit don't sound crazy as hell, I don't know what does. His daughter as the... Okay. Why? She has no experience at all. As far as I know, I don't think she's ever had a job. Like, what?
With your daughter?
Well, I was going to say sex, but I can't relate that.
She's never, I don't think she's had a job that wasn't appointed by Trump or given to her by her father. Like, we can't. Okay. You know what? That's what I'm saying. She's white. That's a white woman. That's what I'm saying. You know, white man wanting a white woman. Same thing. Just see, because I, you know, we had, did you see what they did to Ketanji Brown? She was overly qualified for that job and they gave her hell. Now, she does also have a white man in her corner. But I'm just saying, did you see, as a black woman, she had to walk up mountains and she was overly qualified, whereas she just might be the vice president just the fuck cuz. Like, I'm move on, because this type of stuff is what irritates me to my soul. It irritates me to my core. Okay, I'm going to leave it alone. Okay, that's what I'm going to do. All right, let's talk about the Queen. Yes, Queen Elizabeth II. And she was the longest, she passed away on Thursday, last Thursday. She was the longest reigning British monarch. She died at the age of 96. I think her husband was 99. They lived to be, see, it's nice to be white and rich. Because like, y'all be living for a long time. What I will say is that I think black people age on the inside. White people age on the outside. Because like sometimes I be talking to some of y'all. But I'll be talking to some of y'all and I'll be like, wow, they probably like, we like my age. You know what I'm saying? And then I'll be talking, I'm 22. I'm like, you what? The fuck? Like, I'll be confused. And then you'll be talking to some black people. Shout out to all my black listeners. And you'll be talking to some black people and be like, how old? They probably about my age. How old are you? I'm 67. I'm like, the fuck? Like, it's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like white people age on the outside. Black people age on the inside. Because we be dying like 44, 40. Like, you know what I mean? It's like we die young as shit. But white people will be looking old, but they be living long, long, prosperous lives. But anyway, that's a long time. She had a very long life. And I guess when you don't have to do manual labor, and you probably would live long too. You know, that's just what I'm just saying. But it brought up a debate about her legacy. So black Twitter and Irish Twitter went in on her. So it was just blow after blow after blow. And I think a lot of black people were saying, like, because the British crown started a lot of this, the transatlantic slave trade. They profited off of it. A lot of the money that they have came from the profits of the transatlantic slave trade. They benefited from pillaging other countries, taking other people's lands, taking over smaller black and brown countries and draining their resources. A lot of their money comes from that. We cannot ignore the fact that their history is on the back of some of what we would call blood money. There's no denying it. It's in the history books. Now, Elizabeth didn't necessarily do that. Now, I'm not going to say that because she's been kind of quiet on some of these issues, though. And if you look at her reign, there were some issues where she remained silent. Like, it wasn't like she got in and was like, oh, well, we're going to just change. Because I'm like, what did she get? She got in a time where things weren't all peachy coochie coo. It wasn't all good for people of color when she sat there. So we can't expect her to rule the way she would have if it meant something. Because mostly her, it was really symbolic. Like the crown, even to this day, is symbolic. Like she not, that's why they have a prime minister. Like they're not really doing anything. Like it's mostly just, oh, we have a queen, but she really is like Beyonce. Like they're just like rich celebrities that get paid by the government. Like that's really what that is. You know what I mean? It's like socialism for old white people. That's all it is. Because they it's mostly symbolic. Like they have politicians that do that, that are sitting there making these decisions and ruling. Like she was just sitting there kissing babies and going around. Like that's pretty much what they were doing and what they do now. But, and I don't understand why you have a, still have the monarch. I don't understand it. It does not need to exist. There's no way, shape, or form that anybody on this world was born to be higher than someone else. I think even still having that, and Britain, shout out to my British listeners as well. Y'all do what y'all want. Like I'm saying, like if that's what y'all want, y'all do that. But if you think about it, it's kind of fucked up. Like, you literally have a family of people that just because they was born, and like my favorite comedian Chris Rock said, you was born, these weren't his exact words. His exact words were a lot more graphic, but I'm going to tame it down. You were born out of a vagina in Buckingham Palace somehow makes you more worthy than somebody else. Just because you was born out of a vagina in Buckingham Palace. That to me, a little weird. But if that make y'all feel like y'all got stability there, cool. You know what I mean? Like y'all do you. We love Beyonce like that. You know what I mean? Over here, we love Tom Hanks and all that. So we get it. Like they replaced our monarchy. Like when y'all left, we just went and found other figures to fill that void. Because really the way we treat celebrities is like we would treat kings and queens. Like they get the blue check mark is the crown. If you have that blue check mark, you're in the monarchy. That's what we do here. But it's just a little strange. But getting back to Black Twitter, I think a lot of Black people said that when is the time to talk about legacy if it's not now? And we need to talk about it now. And you know, we can't change what somebody did in their life and the impact that they had just because they died doesn't change that. Now, pause. Here's what I'm saying, and I'm going to piss some of y'all off. We cannot make that argument. And then if something happens to somebody here, let's take for instance, if we have a senseless police shooting, right? And the person has a rap sheet and they bring that up, we can't say now is not the time to talk about that because we just said that in somebody's death doesn't change their what they did in their life. So if we're going to have that argument, we've got to have that argument. We cannot not have that argument because it doesn't make sense. It's one-sided. So you have to be very careful about how we have this conversation if we don't want that brought back up to our people. If you don't want that brought back up, the same thing when Kobe died, people started to pull back up the court case back in, what was that, like 2000 and shit, 2000 and something, early 2000s. Whenever that case took place, and I think Gayle King asked about it or something to Lisa Leslie in an interview, we can't do that. So it's like we kind of pick and choose who gets the business. And if we're going to make that argument, what's fair is fair. If it's all fair game, then it's all fair game. I believe that wholeheartedly. It doesn't change who you were. When my mother passed away, I didn't change who, it didn't change who she was. I still talk like she did that. She did some bad things in her life. I can't sit here and say that she didn't. She did it. That was her legacy. That was the life she lived. It doesn't mean that she deserved to die early. It doesn't mean that she deserved to pass away. That's not what I'm saying. But that's who she was. She was good and she was bad, like every other human being on this planet. But we tend to not talk about the bad sides of people once they pass away. Now, I do think that you do need to be very mindful of this because that is somebody's family member. That's somebody's mother, that's somebody's grandmother, that's somebody's auntie. So you have to be careful about that too and think about how you're saying it. You can have the conversation, but do think about how you're saying it or even why you're saying it. That's what I would say. Because like when we're having these nuanced conversations, what is it changing? Does it change anything? Not really. They're still going to worship, I'm not going to say worship her, but they're still going to honor her in a way that's very, very positive. You're not going to hear the mainstream media talking badly about her. You're not going to see them not talk about her anymore. They're not going to see her cancel her and take this stuff, her name off of stuff and all that. Like, you're not, it's just, it's not going to happen. So, I mean, it makes us feel better to have the conversation. So keep having it, but it's not going to change much. But I do want to just point that out there. And I think that they did benefit off of that. And that's why, like, even when you have the conversation about Meghan Markle and everybody was like, oh, well, look at Meghan Markle. And they started making the memes about Meghan Markle. Listen, if we know what they did, you don't think she knew? Like, that's the land of where that started from. Like, we, come on now. Like, you walking into this and you kind of knew what you were going into. I think what you didn't realize is that they would probably looked at you differently. I don't think you realized that part. I think you thought you were walking in there and you would become one of them because of your complexion and the way that you look. But when they looked at you, they didn't see that. But you didn't realize that when she walked in there. So that's what I was like, yeah, you're getting on Elizabeth, but when you look at it from the other side, it's sort of like she was okay walking in there. She didn't have any problems with the history at all. So I was like, nope, we're not going to change that narrative. No. Okay? No, we're not doing that. But she did pass away, and now her son, Prince Charles III, will be the oldest person to take the crown. Mm-hmm. Yep, he's going to be the oldest. And I guess that's going to be a pattern. You're going to continue to see the oldest person just passing down the next one into the next one into the next one. But I don't really care because, nah, a crown is a crown. Like, it's all just symbolic. Nah. And we also lost another comedian. Like, the comedic world has taken a hit these last couple of years. But this year, especially on the Black comedic circuit, they've lost a lot. This is the third person this year. So David A. Arnold, who just had a Netflix special out, passed away. He was 54 years old. They haven't really released, you know, the cause of death yet. They did say it was due to natural causes, and his family did say he passed away in his home. I think that this also, because he had plans, like he had a tour, This Ain't Easy tour, which is the same name as the special, out. And I think that we don't always take it into account that we're not going to be here tomorrow and how fragile life is and that nothing is guaranteed. And this is why you have to mean what you say and say what you mean and do the things that you want to do. Like, for the longest time for me, I was holding back out of fear of what somebody else would say. And I was like, then I started going, for what though? Because at the end of the day, you got one life. So if you want to be in media like I did, jump into media, because you don't know if you have tomorrow. It's not guaranteed to us. It's guaranteed to no one. I don't care if you 3 months old or 93. It's guaranteed to none of us. So make sure you go and do and live your life to the fullest. And it seems like he really was finding his stride. He was really living his life. He was a producer. He was a writer. You know, he was a showrunner for That Girl Lele, which has been a hit on Nickelodeon. My children don't watch the show. I think my children are to an age where they probably, I mean, my six-year-old, she's just not into live act. Like, she, YouTube is her thing. She don't really watch TV. But my other children are older. But I've seen that Girl Lele in store. So the show is really like taking off, right? So I'm like,
it's amazing to me that I wasn't expecting that one. You know, he was just on television. He was having all these upcoming dates, and he appeared very healthy, lively, fit. So it was like, you just never know. So we got to stop worrying about other people, what other people think, and what other people are doing. And let's talk about it. Let's talk about it. And you know what? And some people I don't realize think they realize, because I was like, Ari, let's talk about Aries Spears and them. And Lord, because I'm like, Aries, I don't know. Your name, I don't know if you was named after the ram or if your mother looked at you and was like, yeah, kind of see the ram. I'm not sure, but Aries, you wasn't cute enough for this bullshit, and you knew coming after somebody that got stans, Aries. If they got stans, I don't know if they Lizzoettes, I don't know if they Zizzos, I don't know what they call them, but you knew you fucked up. Like, anytime you mess with somebody that got some stans, you don't mess with them. Leave them alone. They investigative journalists, reporters, they gonna be in on your social media, outside your house, in your car. Like, they just, that's what they do. I don't think any of them, they like 13-year-old girls and they don't have no jobs and this is what they do. Listen, you knew better than this shit. First of all, that whole video you did with the 7-year-old kid was appalling. And I heard, you know, Ryan Davis did a great commentary on that where he went back and he kind of like broke it down. I agree with a lot of the stuff he said, except for the fact that we laugh at anything as long as it's funny. The issue becomes is that funny is subjective. We don't find the same things funny. So when is the limit or where's the limit? I think that with comedy, you can say whatever you want. And this is like I'm saying the same thing, but it comes at a cost. Like, if you can say anything, so can the other person. So if the person doesn't like it, they have every right to say, I don't think it's funny and I don't think you should say that. But it doesn't mean that you don't have the right to say what you say. But funny is subjective. The same things that you think is funny, other people ain't gonna think are funny. And there's another video that surfaced from Ari Spears that I'm pretty sure he thought was funny because he put it out of him being kissed in the mouth by another man. And the man is laying on his back, rubbing his back while he's at the pool. I didn't watch the video. I just seen clips of it. But it's just not very flattering or becoming. Now, if he was a part of the LGBTQ plus community, then great. But I think this is more of a caricature of the LGBTQ community. So it's just not a good look for Aries. Like, it's just Aries Spears has taken a hit after hit after hit. What I will say to the public, what is we doing? Like, when the last time you seen him on a commercial? When you seen the last time you seen him in a movie? Like, we haven't seen Aries Spears since 2004. Like, what the fuck is we doing? Like, what are y'all, what are we doing? What are we doing? Because y'all not coming to his comedy shows. Like, what are we doing? You not supporting somebody you already wasn't supporting? Like, what are we doing? What are we doing? Are we wasting our time? Like, what are we doing? I 100% believe that Tiffany Haddish and Aries Spears should have fucking knew better making that goddamn video with that little boy in the girl in it. They should have known better than to make that video. The video, to me, because comedy is subjective, wasn't funny. But here's the thing that Ryan Davis made this point beautifully. Will we go back and cancel Dave Chappelle for making Piss on You, which was a video about a little girl getting pissed on? We all laughed. We sang the song. We still play that now. Like, some of y'all was watching that Dave Chappelle show as you was listening and hating on Aries Spears. Like, we watched that, right? He also mentioned Scary Movie 3, which had the exorcism skit in it. It was a spoof of the exorcism, which had a grown man, because technically the girl in the exorcist was a child, had a grown man having sex with a child. Are we going to cancel the weigh-ins for that? But I'll take it a step further. My favorite comedian, Chris Rock, made a joke about the molesting uncle. He said, everybody got a molester uncle. The joke was relatable. People related to the joke. Comedy comes from a dark place. Not always, but there is a level of darkness to comedy. And there actually is a whole genre of dark comedy, but there's a level of darkness because comedy comes from pain, disappointment, frustration, because we all can relate to that. And that's why it's funny, because the human experience, we all have experienced it, and that's what makes it funny. So the fact that I think that they made this video and released it and said, hey, this is going to be funny. It probably was funny to somebody. Ari Spears clearly thought it was funny, and Tiffany Haddish, because they wouldn't have released it if they didn't think it was funny. So their humor thought that was funny. Somebody probably will. Now, the issue was is that you put the children in this predicament. You don't put real children in this predicament. It's just, that's not what you do. Like, Tiffany Haddish could have played the child. She could have played a child, but she didn't. Like, they actually went and got somebody's child and put it in there. Now, I know the mother, they people been getting on the mother about it. Like, you should have known better. And listen, her and Tiffany Haddish supposedly were friends. And I will say this, and I said this on Faraji's show, I said, you do need to ask questions, because it sounds like the mother didn't have any questions at all. And what we don't know is if the children really wanted to be famous or if the mother wanted these children to be famous. It doesn't seem like they asked very many questions at all. There weren't very many questions, because it's like the mother didn't know what the commercial was supposed to be. She didn't know what it was. She thought she knew. I was like, you're going to have to ask a lot more questions than that. And it wasn't a lot of questions being asked. But it doesn't take away from the fact that Tiffany Haddish and Ari Spears made this knowing how this would look. And they did it in the sense of they thought it was funny. And then also, we live in a world when they made this, and this internet was already out, where you had to go viral. And everybody has to keep making this content that's higher and higher and higher up to go viral. That's what this was. Now, the video, when they originally released it, actually got taken down off of the site because so many people thought it wasn't funny. And Tiffany Haddish is going to take a hit from this. Like, Ari Spears really don't have shit to lose. Tiffany Haddish got a lot to lose. And she's a black woman. Black women can't make a black woman a mistake. What? A mistake? What? We can't make any mistakes. Like, Kamala Harris, people hate her now because she did her job. This is what I'm saying. Like, we black women cannot make any mistakes at all. So Tiffany Haddish is about to take a huge hit. Not to mention that people have always said that she wasn't that funny. My thing is, comedy is subjective. Tiffany Haddish might not be my black unicorn, but she's somebody's black unicorn. I always felt like her comedy to me bordered caricature. And it always made me a little uncomfortable. I was like, ooh, kind of a caricature. And for whatever reason, white people like that. To me, was a little bit like, what, sassy black friend all the time. Like, loud black woman, like, all the time. Like, that's just my thing. And I feel like we do have, it's not the Tiffany Haddish type of character or personality shouldn't exist. We don't have very many options. I would say we have Sam J, Wanda Sykes, who are out there telling real social commentary in the comedy game. A lot of other ones, nah. We don't have a lot of them out there. And I was like, I would love to see more women, black and white and Asian and otherwise, talking about social commentary. But it seems like there are very few far in between. Like, we get relationships, we get sex, we get kids. But I was like, can we talk about social commentary too? Like, that's just me. I'm on my soapbox, my sidebar to a sidebar. That's just me. But Ari Spears, it's a long ways from Mad TV days. Long, 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 long time ago land days. Half the people now that's shitting on him on the internet don't even know that shit exists. Like, they don't even know what we talking about Ari Spears. Like, that's how long ago that was. It was on VHS. Like, he VHS famous. So, I don't know what y'all about to do with Ari Spears. Ari Spears, he should be able to say what he wants to say. But the issue becomes is that for every action, there's a reaction. And if you can say whatever you want, those people have every right to say what they want back. We about to get a ton of videos from Ari Spears now. We gonna see him tap dancing. He might even be in blackface. Like, we might as well get prepared now, because it's coming. They about to find it. Mm-hmm. They about to find it. They gonna find his second grade post photo of him talking about some stuff. Like, it's about to be... Ari Spears, you might as well just sit down. Just take a seat, because it's about to go all the way down for you. All the way down for you. And let's say ka-ching. Yes, California. California love. Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. Ding-ding-ding-ding-ding. California knows how to party. Let me stop. So California is hot as fuck over there. So I don't know. Y'all melting shit. Shit is catching on fire. But guess what? Y'all might be getting some more money if you work in fast food. Yeah, yeah, yeah. On Labor Day, Governor Gavin Newsom said that they were going to be increasing the minimum wage from $15.50 an hour to $22 an hour. And of course, the rich people were pissed. Like, they were upset that people could potentially get a livable wage. Because the argument is that if you pay them more, the food in the restaurants is going to cost too much to eat.
What did he say?
Now, what they don't tell you is that this bill is only for restaurant chains that have more than 100 of them. More than 100 chains. So it only applies to companies that have a lot of employees. We're talking about corporations. So with the corporations, those people at the top are making millions and millions of dollars. It's not that the issue is that they're not making the money to make the stuff. The issue is now they won't have the same amount of money to put jet fuel in their plane. So instead of making $20 million, they're going to make $15 million. And that's unheard of. Their family's going to be in destitute. Cannot make $15 million a year. It's just ridiculous. Plus my $20 million bonus. It's just, I'm going to be poor.
Say what?
The issue is that the reason why they raise the money is because they don't want to take a pay cut. So in order for them to continue to keep that gap there between the workers and the top, they have to raise the money on the consumer. But does it make sense that the people making your food can't afford to eat it? You got to make $250,000 in Los Angeles just to get a one bedroom. Like, it should not be that way. So what y'all want is for these people to just be able to barely live and not be able to afford food, because what's going to happen anyway? The price is going to go up anyway, because that's how inflation works. It just doesn't go up real fast. But inflation, the prices have always gone up. Have you seen anything that's a nickel lately? I've not. There used to be nickel can't. Like, I've not seen it. Why? Because everything goes up any fucking way. But what happens is that inflation outpaces wages, and then the people can't live. We need to fix that. There's no way that we have people that are making, like, the gaps in between the people at the top and the bottom is ridiculous. Ridiculous. And we will continue to have capitalism the way capitalism is because 99% of people don't want to change capitalism. They just want to switch seats. So they just hope one day that they're going to sit where them other people are sitting. But the joke's on them, because the people who are sitting at the top will never make room for you. They don't want you to sit there. I don't give a fuck what they tell you. They tell you that so you don't realize, wait, it's more of us than it is of them. Maybe we should go stop fucking with them like that. Let's not go to work today. No, let's not go to work today tomorrow. You know what? Let's just say fuck them. They don't want that. So they have to keep giving you these motivational speakers that pop out. Like, one day you're going to be rich like us. Wait. Because everybody can't sit there. That's how the system works. If everybody sits there, you would have no billionaires. Hello? But y'all might be getting some money. I don't know if you're going to get some money. They said it's supposed to go up next year, so we'll see what happens in California. But yeah, we'll see. Rob and Ski. And they came up with some embryos. Yes, science actually... And speaking of which, scientists are making people Okay, well, they're not making people yet, but it's going to go there. Right now, they're making mice. So they were able to make mice without a sperm or an egg. So they didn't even need, like, actually another mice. They didn't need no meses in order to make embryos. So they're using this in order to be able to make organs, because one of organ donors and having organs for people is very, very hard. So if you're on a list, a lot of the times people die waiting on those lists. So if you can actually create some of these organs outside of the body and then be able to give these organs to people as they need them, we can save a lot more lives. So this is what this is supposed to do down the road. And I guess it could actually help people with infertility, I guess, down the road. So this is amazing. Actually, the fact that it's a little creepy, but it's amazing at the same time that this is what they're able to do. And I think that this also starts to bring into question, like, when that abortion debate in here. Like, wait a minute now. Because, like, this is not a real person. This is not a person. So I was like, I don't know. Or not even a person, but a mouse. It's not a real mouse. Fuck it. I don't know. It's confusing as fuck. But there you go. So down the road, let's do it. Are you ready for some football? Yeah, I am. I am an NFL fan still. I know I'll get flack for that, given all of the issues with the NFL. But I am very much a fan of the NFL, especially the Ravens. I'm a Baltimore girl. I am a Baltimore Ravens fan since they've been here in 1996. And here's the thing. We have a brand, well, he's not really new now. He's been there for several years, but he's a younger quarterback, Lamar Jackson. He's very dynamic. People have heard about him because of his play and how amazing he is. As far as he can do things that I don't think the Football League has ever really seen a quarterback do. And so he's changing the game of what quarterbacking is. And I know that I'll get a lot of flack for that because, you know, the NFL has a race problem. The NFL has a woman problem. But the game is really exciting. And it has a safety problem. Not the actual position, but just safety for the players. But I still like the game. And I think Lamar Jackson's he seems like a really great kid. And my issue is with the NFL and its black quarterbacks, because Lamar Jackson still has not gotten a long-term contract. And it's funny because a lot of the other quarterbacks has. And I feel like it is just the way that the NFL kind of markets and targets its black quarterbacks. Because in the NFL, black quarterbacks are never talked about as being smart intellectual or intelligent. It's never that. It's always they're agile, they're fast. It's always in the body, whereas the quarterback is very much about the mind. You have to be able to make really smart decisions in a short period of time. And so it is a lot about being very smart with the positions and the moves that you make. And Lamar Jackson doesn't play the respectability politics that a lot of the other black quarterbacks play. And he's not biracial. So you have a lot of biracial quarterbacks like Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomeboy. They're biracial. So although they're black, they're mixed. Even Colin Kaepernick was mixed. So it's like you still have this level of, you know, these are biracial. So they're half white. Whereas when you have the black quarterbacks like Michael Vick, it's like they are only athletic. That is the way that they're described. They are athletic. They are tough. That's it. And so he doesn't play that. Like, even when you look at a lot of the quarterbacks that Deshaun Watson, before he became the Bill Cosby of the NFL, he had this respectability about him, like, just, you know, clean cut guy, you know, in the suits, kind of like that is the presenting that he gave them, which is very appealing to their very old male white base. And Lamar Jackson doesn't play into that. He usually has his hair in cornrows or braids, or like an afro. He's wearing the chains. The way that they talk about the way that he speaks is problematic to me. Like, he doesn't put on this facade that he's somebody that he isn't. And so I feel like he doesn't get the just due, and they don't think he is as good. Because when you see the other quarterbacks that got these big long-term contracts, it just kind of makes you like, this is a former MVP. You know, you see what he does when he's on the field with this team. I mean, we just won against the Jets. I mean, it's the Jets. So, I mean, I'm not like going crazy right now. But he's a great addition. Now, I do think that he's not always the most consistent quarterback, but he's a good one. And so the fact that he hasn't had a deal is just a little weird to me. And so that's why when I'm looking at the different quarterbacks in the league and I'm thinking, I wonder if this is a respectability politics issue. Like, he doesn't play that game. He's not safe. You know what I'm saying? Like, he doesn't play that safe card. So I don't know if that's it. He doesn't play it safe on the field, and he doesn't play it safe outside of there. So I don't know. I don't know if this is what this is. But we'll see if he gets his contract. I mean, he did turn down $250 million with $130 million guaranteed. I don't know if he has an agent. I know he didn't have an agent, but I'm hoping maybe he's talking to some attorneys or something, because these things, I don't know if they can be sometimes done on your own, especially when this is the first time you're really seeing this type of stuff. So I don't know, but I hope for the best for him, and we'll see what happens. And it's September 11th just passed as well. So there was a bunch of different tributes that were done. It's hard to believe that it's been so long. You know, it feels like every year, I think it feels like it's just happened. To watch the things that we saw on television, and I was a kid, so I remember, you know, I was old enough to know what the hell was going on. And to be able to actually, I don't think as a kid, I visualized it, but I don't think I could process exactly what was going on. Like seeing the things fall from the building, not realizing that those were people, like being able to really visualize that those people in desperation to not burn, like they jumped out of the building, and to see that, like to still see that to this day, the fact that it's been 21 years, there's some children that don't know anything like before 9/11. You know, they don't know what it was like to fly on a plane before 9/11. Like this, all of these things, this post 9/11 world changed a lot, and just so much. So, you know, never forget, man. Never forget. But this has been a brand new episode of Millennials Anonymous. And you guys didn't get an episode last week. I didn't tell you that on the thing, but yeah, we went on a break for Labor Day. So we're good. We will not have another break. Let me see. Let's give y'all some information so that y'all can know when the next break will be. So you probably won't. We won't get another break until November. So if something comes up, I'll try to mention it on the show, but you will have an episode next week. I don't think you'll get another break until November. So the week of Thanksgiving, you will not have an episode. Well, not the week of you probably won't have an episode on the 28th. So the next break, I think, is the 28th, and you'll get another break for Christmas. And then we'll be in the new year. And then, you know, the season ends in March. So with that being said, if something pop up, I'll let y'all know. But this has been another episode of Millennials Anonymous. Make sure you stay safe out there. Peace.